Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
210 WGN. Hello, everyone. Quick note for anyone going to the Blackhawks game tonight. First, I'll see you there. Second, it's an early puck drop tonight at 6 o'clock. And I say that now with a question mark. I know we just heard it from news. 6 o'clock, right,
it
Patrick?
Is. Yeah.
I should know that, considering I'm going. Yeah, I have to get there super early, so I'm going there right after this show.
No matter what, right.
But it's just an earlier puck drop tonight. Ooh, and we have a new thing we're doing tonight.
Oh, what's that?
From the entertainment side. Okay. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but if you're going to the game, or maybe this will convince you to get the ticket, that if you need to go, I'm going to do a new little fun thing in the third period. So
you're like tease it a little bit or no?
I'm pitting the 100 level against the 300 level.
Oh, wow.
I love doing that. Yes. We're going to do the fourth line, which we always do, which is the singing song where the person has to finish
the line.
Finish the line. We're going to do that in the third period. And the very next TV timeout, if you were good at, I shouldn't even say it like this. It's not a drinking game because we can't advocate for that.
You cannot.
But adjacent to that. And I was like, let's try this at the United Center tonight. And they're like, cool. So hopefully it goes well.
That's a tease. Okay.
So there you go. Third period.
Well, you always do a great job. It's fun to see you there.
Well, I appreciate that. Patrick you Dolan goes to a lot of games. Section 119.
Yeah, wow.
One of my favorite places to hang out. Yep. I won't give the row and the seat number.
You can if you want.
Otherwise,
I'm happy
people are
to take visitors.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you want people coming up to you with all their employment law questions while you're trying to enjoy a hockey
game. Listen, 24/7. It's fine.
312-981-7200. Iridian is answering the line already for a caller that's coming on in. And we'll see if other ones come behind. We hope so. Ghosting.
Yeah.
I know we talk about in the dating world where you just leave someone on red and you're just like, I'm done with them. I ghosted them. Happening in the workplace too, huh?
You know, apparently I'm hearing these stories, and this wasn't an issue for me because I'm old when I was looking for a job. But what I'm hearing is folks are interviewing for jobs, and you know they'll go through the whole process in person, Zoom, whatever it is, and then they won't hear anything from the company, and this is becoming much more prevalent.
You're not just saying like, oh, they did one of the blanket applications on a third-party website.
No.
You're saying they met someone.
Oh, yeah.
They chatted with them in the workplace.
Yeah.
They're sitting by waiting to find out if they got the job or not.
Yeah.
And they hear absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
That's rude.
And that's becoming pretty prevalent. And in response, what I'm also hearing is a lot of younger folks are job ghosting, which is when they're about to leave a job, they will not tell their employer, especially if they work remotely, that they're not really working anymore, and they'll take another job, and they'll just leave, and it'll take the employer a while to figure out that they're not working anymore.
Wait. They'll leave the job, go work someone else, so this is maybe someone that has a work-from-home job?
Yes, exactly.
And they just don't tell the employer.
No.
They've gotten another job,
yes.
So they're getting paid by the new job. And it's not like it's a two-week situation. They're literally just not
doing their job. They're just stopping.
Or maybe logging on to Teams once or twice a day and saying,
that's it.
So they're getting two salaries, knowing that that first job will eventually figure this out.
And I think this is probably in response to the first issue.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm not passing any judgment, John. I'm just saying I'm hearing stories both ways a lot, way more so than I ever have before. And that could be the result of a bunch of things. That's a new thing to me. I don't know how folks feel about it either way.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a great practice on either side, but, you know, I pass no judgment.
I think it's an observation. I think if you don't like the idea of a company not calling you back for an interview, which I don't, I think they should tell you yay or nay, then I don't think I can then very well say, yeah, go ahead, double dip, and just leave your job quietly and ghost your job. No, I still would believe in the 2 weeks rule. Ooh, you don't like that, do you?
No, I hear that all the time. There is no such rule, but I know people like rule of thumb, I guess.
Respectfully,
it's a pretty common practice, right?
Here's my thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Generally speaking, and maybe it's just because of the business I work in, which is entertainment, radio, TV. I would do everything I possibly could, especially if I had a new job lined up or I just was done with another job, to put in 2 weeks and do that respectfully and work with the bosses to try and figure out a really great way to leave and make sure someone else behind me is good. Simply because in my business, which is smaller, you never know who you're going to deal with again. You may need to go back to a job again. Why would you leave a place with a really ugly taste of yourself in their mouths, right?
I agree with that to an extent. It really depends on what's going on in the workplace. And by the way, a lot of people come to me and say, I don't want to burn the bridge because my industry is small and I have to get another job, etc. But it really depends on what's going on. Is that a good practice? I completely agree. Should people do that? Yes. It you know, benefits the employee, employer. It's just a good thing to do. Especially if you're going to see those people down the road, again, wherever, personally or professionally. But do you need to do it? No.
Yeah, not, there's no legal.
There's no, typically no requirement. Although, John, there are some folks who have stuff in their offer letter or an agreement or something like that obligates them to provide a certain amount of notice. Usually, it's a lot more than 2 weeks, by the
way. Wait, what, really? It says, you must?
Month.
Or
it could
what?
Be 3 months or 6 months. Or maybe you don't get your severance, or you know, maybe if you don't provide it, it's a breach of contract for some reason. But there's common notice requirements of several months.
Okay, so
that's
make sure you read that.
Very carefully, right. Because you don't want to be in breach of your contract.
Right, because could they claw money back from you then?
Yeah, they could.
Okay, so before you ghost
bonus,
your employer.
Bonus, equity, commission, all that's on the table a lot of times.
I don't know what any of those things is, but what? I mean, I do, but not in my
it doesn't
work
pertain
experience.
To you,
yes.
Right.
Let's go to the phone lines. Lori's got, I think, something nice to say about Patrick. Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. What did you want to say?
I called a couple of weeks ago with a saga about a young man who quit his job when the employer put some travel conditions on the job.
That's
after
right.
He was hired. And Patrick said, he's got to file that claim. And he didn't want to listen to me when I said file the claim, but when I said I called the radio and I talked to them, and they said you have to file that claim, he went ahead and filed with a little bit of coaching, and he did get his unemployment award. So he is collecting his benefits.
That's great.
That's awesome, Lori.
Yeah. I'm glad that worked out.
So we were right all along, and your son, I'm glad he listened, and he should also prove that, you know what you're talking about.
You're right all along, but he didn't want to listen to me. He says, you haven't practiced, I'm a retired attorney. He says, you haven't practiced any law in 15 years or so, and
wow.
He should listen to
I
his
know
mom.
Right, but...
Wow. How old is he?
He's 30 something.
Oh,
old enough
God.
To know better.
Old enough to know better. How dare you haven't practiced law for 15 years? I'm happy for your son, and I'm glad that he listened. I'm happy for you too. He needs to call in, and we need to defend you, Lori, to him. So he listens to WDM.
I just
want to we'll
call
take...
and let you know that you gave good advice, and he followed it, and he got his claim.
Good. That's awesome. All that matters.
Thanks,
Lori.
Thanks for calling on in. That's good to hear, Patrick. It turns out you're right some of the time.
Some of the time, yeah. I mean, I heard Mike Leonard say he's wrong most of the time, which he is.
Yeah. The thing is about Mike is he actually obviously knows he's right all the time.
I know.
And then he tries to come off
tries.
As this folksy,
humble,
like, oh,
very
I'm,
humble.
Yes, but it's all fake.
It's a song and dance.
That guy is, exactly. I mean, love him, but he is in...
He's a pretty nice guy. You know, I don't know about that.
I would not want to be against him in a courtroom, I will say.
No, he's very good at what he does.
For sure. 312-981-7200. Do you think you owe it to your company that you work at if you are leaving to give 2 weeks? Let's say you didn't even love the job. Is that a requirement anymore? Do you think that the tables have turned in the workplace? I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Bosses out there, let us know what you think as well. John Hansen here. 630 says, my son gave a 2 weeks notice and they let him go, Patrick. That happens sometimes too, I guess. Are they allowed to just say, never mind, you're done, we're not paying you?
Yes.
Yes. Well, then that makes me reconsider everything
I know.
I've said.
And John, that happens a lot, actually. Companies are like, you know what? We don't need you around. Now, they should pay you. They should pay you. Because if it's an obligation, you have to provide 2 weeks' notice, then contractually...
If it's an obligation.
If you're just doing it because you think it's the right thing to do.
And they're like,
and
bye.
They just, I'm like, you know what? Today's your last day. They can do that. As long as it's not discrimination or something
right.
like that. That happens a lot.
Well, then now I'm changing my tune on this a little bit. Because... Let's say I'm going to start a new job. I give my new job 3 weeks from now because I'm going to give my company 2 weeks and then I want a week to kind of just have a week off. I think it's very common that people do that.
Yes.
And you were like, all right, well, I'll work these last 2 weeks. I'm going to do the good thing and say that I'm going to give 2 weeks. And then they're going to say no, leave, bye. And I'm going to miss out on 2 weeks of pay. And then my new job isn't going to start me any earlier. I don't want to go to them and ask for that.
You know, a lot of times it depends what the person does as to whether they, quote unquote, need your help to transition during that 2 weeks. And if they don't, honestly, they're not going to have you keep you around for very long. And I will say something from a company's perspective, that time is a bit of a danger zone, because what are you doing during that time from an employer's perspective? Do you, if you have a non-compete, you know, what are you doing with confidential information?
All the clients,
right.
Yeah.
Are you contacting clients and telling them you're leaving in violation of a non-solicit? Like, there's that time period, in from my perspective as an employment lawyer, is sort of fraught with danger from the company's perspective, and a lot can go wrong during that time. So I get it, but if both parties are acting in good faith and doing the right thing, it's an important and good thing to do.
So maybe a read the room situation.
Yes.
See who what happened when other people left.
100%.
Yeah, if they gave their 2 weeks and the company said, cool, thank
you. As long as your job is the same or analogous to what somebody else did, because
right.
Companies may be like, you know, we don't really need you anymore.
Right.
You know, and since you want to leave, we want you to leave. And so how about today? And that happens a lot.
773 chimed in with a similar thing. The angle that should be considered when giving your employer 2 weeks notice is that your employer could let you go right then and there. And then you're not allowed to work the 2 weeks and then hold your check. All of it unethical, but something that should be considered.
You know,
yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not illegal, but it seems shady.
Yeah, I'm actually going to, you like that word. I'm going to actually go one step further. I think most of the time, the company does not allow you to stick around for that notice period.
So then why would people give their 2 weeks then?
Because if they don't have to under their agreement, which sometimes you do, sometimes they do, pursuant to a policy or an agreement, they just feel like they need to. I hear that all the time. I'm like, why do you think you have to give 2 weeks notice? Like, oh, I thought everybody does. I'm like, first of all, everybody doesn't. And secondly, you don't have to. You don't. I understand what you're trying to do is the right thing and et cetera, but just be prepared. They will probably terminate you immediately when you do.
So maybe it's a situation of you need to go into that conversation with the boss and recognize that you may be let go of that. That might be your last day. So financially, you need to be ready for that.
Yes.
And secondly, maybe you are, if you're open to working another 2 weeks because they see value in that, be open to that, and that's maybe the best of both worlds.
And I would actually include HR in that conversation. It's not just your boss. It's your boss and an HR rep. And the three of you sit down and say, I want my last day to be 2 weeks from now. But be prepared that they're going to just let you go.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to John. John, you're on WGN. You have a question.
The giving 2 weeks. Now, when I had a small business, we were downsizing, and I gave one of my employees 2 weeks notice that I was letting him go.
That's nice of you.
So, well, I just, you know, he'd been with us a long time, but it was time we had it downsized, and he appreciated both ways, you know, that it gave him time to prepare and find work, and so, and he was had always been good for us.
Yeah, and sorry, John. I think that's great, and I wish more employers would do that, recognizing that, especially for those who've been there for a long time, recognizing that it's a difficult transition. Finding a new job, especially when you're older, is tough. And so that is welcomed, what you've done.
And John, what was your other question? You had something else you wanted to chime in on, right?
I had a question regarding, now, a company I work for, we have training that we have to do periodically, you know, 10, 20 hours a year type of thing. Most of it can be online or, you know, off-site and things like that. But they pay for the training, but we don't get paid for our time. And we work commission.
Hmm. Oh, so you're commission-based.
That just seems a little odd there.
Interesting. So you're commission-based. Yes. Your company pays for someone to come in and train you, but they don't pay you for the time that you're sitting there.
Correct.
Ooh, what do you think, Patrick?
Well, I think under federal law, they need to, if it's related to your job, okay? If it's something you have to do, it's not voluntary. If it's something that helps you do your job, then I think you should be paid for that. And I think under federal law, you need to be paid for that.
Even if he's on a commission schedule?
Yes. It doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
You're
there
not
are hours
get commissions
you
for that, so.
Yes. John, I think you need to call Patrick.
I would say the vast majority of training needs to be compensated. You start from that that proposal.
Okay.
Well, that was my thought, but you know, I said, how come I don't get paid for this? Well, we're paying for the class. Well, yeah, but it's mandatory. We take the class. Keep our job.
Wait, John, when is the class being held? Working hours, outside working hours?
Well, we can do it. We do it online, so you can either do it at work, which I did the last time. Sometimes I've done it at home just because, okay, I can either be at work sitting, not getting anything done, or I can at least work and take the class. You know, they give us a period, you know, it's some of the online classes you can just do at home type of thing. Otherwise, on-site or off-site, you know, it's just during the working hours.
So there are a whole bunch of different factors to go into whether it's compensable. One is if it's during work hours or off or not during work hours, right? So that's a bit of a mixed bag, but the majority of the facts you just provided indicate that it should be paid.
And even if it is during work, even if it's during work hours, if you're 100% commission, it feels like they should at least pay you an hourly rate for that hour they're making you do that if it doesn't benefit your commission.
Yeah, what I was saying, John, is that if both Johns, if if he can do it over the weekend and not during regular working hours, that, you know, may be a fact toward not compensable, but I think majority of facts support the fact that this should be compensable.
224, thanks for calling, John. By the way, Patrick Dolan's number is 312-332-7800. 224 says, at my last place of corporate employment, I gave him 2 days' notice because I knew there was information that I had to turn over to somebody else.
Okay.
That's kind of where I thought, too.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right.
708, question for Patrick, based on this last caller. What if I'm a salesperson, 100% commission, and my bosses enforce all salespeople to come to sales meetings? Should we be paid to have to sit in an hour sales meeting?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. If you have to come in and go to a sales meeting, you should be paid for that. Yes.
Should be or legally obligated?
No, legally obligated. Sorry. Yes, legally obligated. I think there's a very strong claim under federal law, the Fair Labor Standards Act, that you need to be paid for that time.
What would the hourly rate be? Just whatever is set by the
boss? Yeah, you'd have to do a calculation of how much they worked, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to go back and look at how much compensation they made, and then you break it down to an hourly rate.
That's fascinating. I bet there's a lot of people that work 100% commission jobs that are regularly brought into meetings and told that they're not getting paid for it.
No doubt. I hear that pretty often, John.
What about like training, like harassment training and things that we have to do on the regular at certain jobs?
That, again, depends on when you're allowed to do it, you know, when you have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. During hours, outside of your work hours, all that kind of stuff. So typically that's compensable too, though.
Yeah.
It's hard to fit training into a non-compensable component. Let me just say that.
What do you mean?
It means that most training should be compensated.
Okay. but it's a murky area when it's like, no, you only work on commissions. And the sales meeting is about how you're doing on your commissions. Like, how are your clients going?
No. That's just the form of how you get to be compensated. That's not really the issue. We can figure that out.
Okay.
The issue is it compensable time? Under federal law, most times it is.
312-332-7800. Ooh, that's a new area we haven't covered yet,
yeah,
Patrick Dolan. Patrick Dolan over there and Shirley over here on the phone line. Hey, Shirley.
Sure. Hi.
What are you thinking?
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the situation of being fired after giving 2 weeks' notice. Excuse me. That's nothing new. Back in the 60s, my father worked for a wholesale jewelry company at a store in Gary, Indiana. Now, what people don't know is that the fine jewelry departments are not owned by the store. They're owned by wholesale jewelry companies, usually on Wabash Avenue. So he worked there for a long time, and he decided to buy a little jewelry store. It was like 12 feet wide across the street from Goldlands.
Okay, so he
doing
does
the right thing.
Yeah, so he puts in his 2 weeks, and then what happens?
They fired him.
Yep, there you go. Shirley, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. So not much has changed, Patrick Dolan.
Well, not in that regard, no. I mean, that's not unusual.
I also know more about the jewelry business now than I
did.
Knew beforehand.
I did not know that.
It's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. You have more to say about the 2 weeks' notice thing, including how it plays in unemployment.
Yeah, so when you're thinking about that whole scenario, whether to quit, and if so, you know, what date you want to give, and anticipating the company may terminate you, you have to factor in a bunch of things. First of all, if you say you're going to quit 2 weeks from now, and they terminate you effective immediately or the next day or something like that, you will probably, if not certainly, be entitled to unemployment because you're terminated. Remember, if you quit, you're almost certainly not going to be entitled to unemployment compensation. Now, that's one of several things you should factor into when deciding how to go about that transition. A lot of people don't want to be terminated for obvious reasons. They need the help of their current employer to get their next job. They don't want to say that they were terminated when they're filling out applications or during some sort of, you know, interview or onboarding process with a new employer. So unemployment's only one factor when you're thinking about whether you want to voluntarily leave or be terminated.
Actually, that's a great point you bring up about on the resume or a call.
Or an application.
Does it matter that you were fired technically because you were going to leave anyways? I know it might help you with unemployment, but I mean, I guess you could explain that to a prospective employer.
Yeah, you don't want to, though.
Like, yeah, I was quitting and then they fired me because I did the right thing and offered 2 weeks.
And then the question is, should you put on that application that you did quit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the company says, no, you're fired, well, I did quit. Most people, I think, would have trouble answering that question. Like, what do I put down? I don't want to put I was terminated. And I did give them 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah, I would just say I did what I thought was the right thing and quit. And then they fired me.
Yeah, to offer a transition. Right. I'm just saying the unemployment component, John, is only one component of the decision about how you go about that transition.
I'll file this next text under the stupidest thing a boss has ever done. This is from the 219. I had a manager I didn't get along with. They told me I'd be fired after a busy 3-day weekend that was still ahead of us to work. Meaning they told this person on Friday, you're going to be fired after this very busy 3-day weekend. I told her I wasn't working 3 more minutes. The look on her face was priceless. Yeah, that's dumb to do as a boss.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. And you can't expect the person to work those 3 days. Not a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
Wait the 3 days and tell them they're fired.
Yeah, I get 2 weeks' notice when it pertains to leaving a job, but your boss being like, well, you have, and I guess for like a layoff where you're like, you have 2 weeks ahead of time.
That's
but
a
like,
whole different thing.
Yes, yeah. Then like, boy, this is going to be a terrible weekend of work here in retail. The stores are going to be packed. You're fired afterwards, but please work these next 3 days.
And work really, really hard. And do your best for us.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people chiming in and agreeing with you. The 847, though, says in early December, I gave my employer 6 months' notice that I was retiring at the end of May. Some people thought that that was too much notice to give, but almost everyone who has retired from my employer in recent years has given 4 to 12 months' notice of retirement. That's from Lauren Schomburg.
Yeah, and that I've talked to a couple of people this week about that very point. Now, sometimes, first of all, a lot of people have to do that, or sometimes they're trying to get a date certain to guarantee some sort of equity component or severance or pension component or something like that, because, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of companies' retirement scenarios involve years working there plus age to get to a certain retirement. So a lot of people give that 6 months to make sure they fit within the company's retirement package. So that's not unusual under the retirement scenario that you're giving a lot of months. And
teachers, too, I can think of. People
that
their jobs are protected by a collective bargaining agreement.
Yes, for sure. Lots of different scenarios. And so if the company says, no, you're fired, maybe you could turn that into an age claim.
I was just going to say.
Or maybe you could turn it into, okay, now you're violating federal law, like prohibiting me from collecting my pension or my severance or whatever it is because you've terminated me before fulfilling that obligation. So there's lots of different components there. But retirement is the scenario where people usually give a lot of notice for a whole bunch of really good reasons.
Because they're excited about it.
And maybe. But then also the company in that scenario is less likely to kick you out the door, in my experience, I will tell you.
What do you mean by saying, hey, I'm going to retire? They are maybe privy to the idea of that they might open themselves up to a lawsuit if they fire you then. They're maybe happy you're retiring simply because they're going to shed a higher salary. So they say, all right, let's just let this play out.
Yes, and avoid an age claim, right? If they want to replace you with somebody who's under 40.
So, because if you retire and they hire someone younger, that is not an age claim.
Yeah, well, no. If you say you're going to retire and then they fire you, right, and replace you with somebody under 40, then, you know, that's a scenario that they don't want to have. So companies, in my experience, provide the greatest amount of cooperation under that retirement scenario.
This is from the 847. I don't know if this is just semantics or what, but they say you shouldn't say you're fired. So many ways to present that situation to future employers. There was a mutual departure from the company. Was time to move on, seeking new opportunities, looking for something more challenging. Yeah, I think generally speaking on the resume, you don't write in big, bright letters, fired from this gig. you would say, you don't even have to say, just say the year you started, the day you ended.
Yeah, but what I was pointing out is a lot of applications will ask you if you were terminated from your last position. That's why I focus on that word. I totally agree. There's lots of ways where you can negotiate a departure, you know, mutually agreed departure, or even a resignation when you're terminated. It's all subject to negotiation. I'm just focused on that question, which people ask me all the time. It says, were you terminated? What do I say? Because I quit and then they fired me. That's what I'm talking about.
You say, no, I was not terminated.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Just lie.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure you want to lie on an application.
It's not a deposition under a court order.
Yeah, but okay, wait a minute, though. Because if they're hired and brought on board and then they find out, that lying on your application is an immediately terminable offense for most companies. So you have to be very careful.
Okay, but if you weren't going to get the job anyways.
I'm saying you have to be careful. It's a tough question.
Look, I'm not saying John Hansen is saying lie in your resume, people.
I would never think that you would say that.
I would never say that.
Never,
but we all play with some fun language on our resumes as it is, right? We all kind of...
I'm not sure I inflate. Do I agree with that?
You know what I'm saying.
I do. Of course I do. I'm just saying you got to be careful. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but like if you say, have I been terminated, and you click yes because of this, you know... little thing, there should be a button that says technically,
explain.
But let me explain,
right?
Let me explain.
I would say I agree with you, John. Most people are not going to say they were terminated under that scenario, which is certainly their prerogative. How about that?
For sure. 630, we were talking about you should be paid for classes you have to take. The 630 says, what about if your training classes are requirements of the state to keep your license? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of examples of that. I mean, the law profession to keep your license. Things that aren't necessarily about the employer, but more about your standing with the state.
Yeah, probably not compensable, no.
Yeah.
Because it's really a work thing as opposed to a licensure thing. People are going to say, but if you have to be licensed to do your job, I get all that. But I think that it's probably not compensable.
Yeah, if I need to keep my license to be...
For me, it's like a CLE.
Yeah.
It's like a CLE class
exactly.
For me.
That's your own thing that you're doing.
I would not expect my law firm to pay me for that. Taking my CLA class.
312-332-7800 is how you reach Patrick Dolan. 312-981-7200 is how you reach us. It's how Kathy reached us. And Kathy's got a question. Hello. Good afternoon, Kathy.
Hi there.
How are you?
Having fun, I think.
Okay. That's how I brand most of my shows. I think you might have fun, maybe.
That's funny.
The company owners of the company I work for announced on Thursday that they are selling the company effective next Friday.
Oh, boy.
All employees want to be hired by the new company. They want to keep the whole team intact. But the question came up. Somebody asked them if they were expecting a holiday bonus or an end-of-year bonus, and it didn't happen this year.
Okay.
And the comment was they were told that because people went over their PTO limit, there would be no end-of-year bonuses.
Ah. This is the current company is telling you that as they're getting ready to sell it to a new company. So the question is,
Correct. Should
people have gotten their bonuses from the old company, or maybe that they didn't give out bonuses because they were actually being sold, and then you're wondering, and maybe other people are wondering, is this a phony reason they gave for you for not getting bonuses?
No.
Oh, okay, so I got that wrong. Okay.
I'm asking about PTO time.
Oh.
Whether, I don't know, we don't have a handbook, so I don't know if PTO time starts at my anniversary date or at the beginning of the year. I had, as of February of 2024, I had 15 days.
Okay.
I have taken 6.5.
Okay.
Not one thing has been said on paying out PTO time or vacation time that hasn't been used.
Okay, Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, so let's just talk about this generally. So when a new company acquires an old company, your PTO either rolls over or it's paid out. You cannot be penalized or lose your accrued unused PTO that is banked. Okay, so let's be really clear about that.
So the new company could say, yep, roll it over into this, and we're going to continue on this, what we've had before. Or if they're changing it, they say, yeah, we're changing it, we're lessening it, or we're doing something different, but we will pay you for your unused days.
They have to, because that's accrued PTO that you have a right to. Okay, now, when we're talking about, and she mentioned like a not getting a bonus because you use too much PTO, that's an apple and an orange legally, okay? What a company can do, if you've gone over your PTO, they can actually reduce it the next year and say, okay, you've used too much PTO, now we're going to take it from you in future PTO. That's okay. What's not okay is to reduce your compensation, i.e. bonus, because you took too much PTO time. She did mention that.
That's illegal?
Yeah, you can't. You can't reduce your pay or your right to bonus. Now, it depends on, most bonus plans will say nothing about PTO. There's an eligibility requirement or criteria for a bonus. If you fit the criteria, you get the bonus.
It's all contract. Laid out.
It's a contract, right. If they say, but it says it's discretionary, that's where I spend most of my time arguing about whether you actually have a right to that bonus, because companies say it's discretionary. Sometimes it's, a lot of time, it's actually not discretionary.
Okay, that's a really good point, because I was assuming that the company can say whatever they want about not giving your bonus. It's up to the company whether they give you a bonus or not.
That is incorrect, John.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
It is up to them, right?
No, it's not.
Why?
Because
it's a bonus.
Wait. Because the bonus plan will have criteria, okay? If you meet the criteria, the company is contractually obligated to pay you that bonus. Sometimes the company will say, but it says it's discretionary. We will pay you a bonus if we want to pay you a bonus. But if the company has a historical practice of paying you a bonus, that could rise to a level of a contract right.
It's the same thing like with severance. There's no severance written into the policy, but they've given everyone else for years 4 weeks severance and you leave, you should be entitled to the 4 weeks.
Yes. And it also could be a function of discrimination. Why is this person not getting the bonus? Then somebody else is getting the bonus. A male versus a female, over 40 versus under 40. You know, all that kind of stuff comes into play. So you have a contract. You may have a contract right to that bonus. You may have a discrimination, retaliation claim that allows you also to be paid that bonus. But for the PTO point, you cannot be penalized. You cannot lose accrued unused PTO.
Kathy, we answered a lot of questions. Were any of them yours?
Well,
are you having fun?
Yes, I am.
I got to hit a commercial break, Kathy. Maybe you could follow up with Patrick Dolan, 312-332-7800 for more specifics. But we'll also get to Jeff's question, too. Okay. I have started quite a kerfuffle online on the text line about this, like, should you lie on your application thing, which I'm not going to say any more on. But the 847 says, my son was fired. Should he say it was a mutual agreement and time to move on while he's out looking for a job? And in my mind, I'm like, it depends on what the question is. If you're in an interview with someone and says, we need to know legally, were you terminated or not? I think there's a way for the son to say, technically I was terminated, but this was a mutual agreement that we were coming to and I was ready to move on to. Why can't they say that? Even if it's entirely not true, who cares?
Yeah, let's get back to the kind of an earlier stage of that whole process. You can agree with the company. If the company comes to you and says you're terminated,
you can say, yep.
No, wait a minute. You can say, you know what? It's going to make getting a job really hard. Can we agree that I resigned, or can we agree that it's mutual? Let me be very clear about this. As long as you're not contradicted by the company, then maybe you can say whatever you want.
So work it out in the HR room, you're saying.
So a lot of times when people come to me with that scenario who haven't, like somewhere in the process, they'll be like, okay, let me talk to the company and get their agreement that inquiries from prospective employers, headhunters, whatever, you will respond either just with dates of employment and position held, which most companies do now, and or you will say that the person resigned or it was a mutually agreed decision. So you don't have to get to the point of you having to answer that question with a prospective employer or fill out that application and maybe lie. You can avoid all of that by just working it out with the company when you leave.
And if you haven't done all that and you are trying to get a new job, what's wrong with using colorful, creative language to make it seem as mutually agreed upon as possible?
That you can say whatever you want, John, as a radio host.
Okay.
As an employment lawyer, I have to be super careful.
Fair.
I'll just leave it at that.
This comes up a lot in Downton Abbey, by the way, when the staff wants to leave. They're like, they're like, oh, we'll leave you a nice reference or a nice letter. Like they did something terribly wrong in the house.
Because they're afraid of being sued for defamation. that's why.
Crawley is
or just nice
Robert
Brits.
Crawley. Yeah. Anyone that doesn't watch Downton Abbey has no idea what we're talking about. I want to get to Jeff, who has something a little more serious. Jeff, what's going on with you? What happened, buddy?
Hey, thank you. I'm 71 years old. I've been with the company for 29 years.
Wow.
A year ago, they hired my replacement and took me from full-time to part-time. And during that time, trained my replacement on my responsibilities, duties, etc.
Jeff, did they tell you this is your replacement? I'm just curious.
Yes. And so a couple of weeks ago, they told me that January 31, that my part-time I'm done with part-time and basically will no longer have employment with them.
Interesting. Patrick, some interesting thoughts?
Yeah, John, I'm going to test you. What do you think my first question is?
How old is the person they replaced you with?
Bingo.
Jeff, is the person that they replaced you with under the age of 40 years old?
Ooh, good question, John.
Yes.
Ooh,
interesting.
Okay,
so that's the beginning of an age claim. I'm not saying it is discrimination per se, but it's certainly something to look into and ask more questions about.
Right, because if that was the sole determining factor, which must be hard to prove, though, Patrick, right?
It's age claims are hard to prove, but they're provable, and people have this scenario all the time. I just have to show that it's age discrimination, but he has the beginnings of that claim, and I'm happy to talk with him.
I find it a little strange that a company would say, this is going to be your replacement, and we're bringing you down to part-time, and then...
I hear that all the time. That scenario, I hear that you're going to train your replacement... Okay, we're going to put you, your hours are going to diminish, et cetera, et cetera. And some people are like, you know what? I'm not going to stick around to train.
Right, but maybe Jeff needed the gig and he
stuck with
it. That's
what I mean. Some people would say that. But there is an age discrimination element there that needs to be looked into.
Jeff, will you call Patrick Dolan to look into that for you?
I did. And one other comment, if I may. They did tell me that budget numbers... that they need to take me off of that number in order to keep their payroll budget at a certain number.
So they told you were too expensive, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah. So your replacement's being paid less than you were for doing the same job. Is that what you were saying?
I don't know.
Okay,
that's the question. But companies say that often. Older, you're more expensive, so they're getting rid of you. It doesn't mean it's not age discrimination.
Yeah, interesting stuff. 312-332-7800 is how you can reach Patrick Dolan. Jeff, I suggest you do that. 847, if you work it out with an employer about saying it's a mutual departure and not fired, then most likely person won't be able to collect all unemployment. Is that true, too, or no?
Not necessarily, no. I understand the concern, but no, it's you'll probably still get unemployment.
It's a mutually agreed upon firing.
No, I understand the concern. If you leave voluntarily, you're not eligible, but you're probably okay with mutually agreed. Or what you can do is ask the company not to contest your claim for unemployment so you can put down your terminator on the unemployment claim.
312-332-7800 is how you reach Patrick Dolan. Patrick, in 15 seconds, who should call you?
Folks with workplace issues. We've hit lots of topics today. Compensation, age, non-competes, etc.
And you're done. Good job. Nice work, Patrick Dolan. Talk to you soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks.
All right, that'll do it for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.